So but you guys who are non-governmental, I mean, you really can't do nothing at that time. You see?
Well, we are intergovernmental, so we have the states are members of our organization.
Yeah.
We are not, of course, telling them what to do, but what we at least try to make sure is that all the officials working in the various ministries or in agencies like the border guards or the asylum agencies have the right tools and the right information to take the right policy decisions. So there is always going to be a percentage of people who gives in to the unknown and the fear for the unknown.
Yeah.
Because that's what it mainly is. But that's like 20%. 80% of the people are more open. And of course, we should not hide that there are problems. There are problems with individual groups of migrants for their specific reasons. Yes. But like there are also problems with new migrants. So you have to make the right choices. You cannot treat the second or third generation integration issues that come from the guest worker programs from the 70s,
yeah,
with the problems that refugees who came from Syria have now, and throw it all in one whole pile and take measures which touch all of them.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense. You have to target your measures, and it's our role as an organization to make sure that this diverse approach is there, and that the government officials have the information and the tools to do this. And I think that's important. It's also, you should not just say, oh, everything is good and everyone should enter in the asylum system and should be a refugee. No, there is an asylum system because we want to protect refugees. So if you're not a refugee and you're in the asylum system, you will be rejected, and at some point you will return because that's the way you entered the country. But at the same time, if there is no alternative at all, and I know how difficult it is for people coming from Afghanistan or from Nigeria or from Ethiopia to come to the Netherlands or to Germany to get a legal labor agreement. So if there's no alternatives at all, then people, they try to use the asylum system. So also here, you have to find a balance.
Yeah.
What alternatives can you create? And I think it's important that we as an organization, and also others, also IOM and also other organizations, come with ideas to change the thinking about migration.
But concretely, in your role as people who, you know, proffer migration dialogue or initiate migration dialogues, I think I'm getting a call. Let's take this call. Yes, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes,
Uncle
Bobo, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a problem here.
Uh-huh.
And I need the guy in the studio to help us.
Yes.
Because the immigrants, we suffer too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this because when you talk of democracy, every country do in own way they understand democracy. I think the same thing with immigrants also. So they should try to come out with something so that to help all of us, because if I'm coming to Austria and I know their policy, then I'll check if I'm fit, then I can go to Austria. But if I go to Austria before they give me their policy, then it's a big problem. So for goodness sake, you should do something about this. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hold on, don't go. Let's be sure he understood your question. He'll hang up. But did you understand the point he was making?
They have to make some policies very, very clear so that people can know what is obtainable in the countries that they are going to.
Yeah, one Martin, did you get his point?
Yeah, I think the point was that it's difficult to get the right information on what are the policies in the individual country out and I move legally. So
exactly.
What we have created in a number of countries, like in Pakistan and Afghanistan, are migrant resource centers, and so we have a number of, we are supported with European funding. The IOM also has some of these centers in different countries. They work a bit differently, but what they try to do is to ensure that there is a telephone number, an access point where people can get information, where they can say, before I go on a trip, I am well informed, I know what are the rules, I know what are my opportunities, and I also know the dangers when I ignore them. And I think that is very important. So there is certain initiatives in different countries on this. Where you can get the information.
Yeah, I don't know whether this is really the case in Africa, because people are driven by need, by extreme poverty, sometimes by the pressure, you know, to break out of a system that doesn't give them any chance at all. I mean, if you know the situation people are in, it drives them to do anything desperate. You see, so. I don't know really whether the information that you think are being provided are really getting to the people. If it were, I think some of the dangerous journeys that young people are undertaking wouldn't happen. It's still happening today as we speak. So,
yes.
So it means that the information is not getting down to the people. You know,
no, it's very difficult to reach out to other people. But secondly, it's also, I mean, I think we know ourselves that even if you have all the information that there is, people select and want to believe what they want to believe at the moment, and that's true in many cases. So it goes beyond just saying, you know, it is dangerous Mediterranean by boat, and
yeah.
It's dangerous to get to come to Italy and then travel and work illegally. You can be exploited. I can say all those things,
yeah.
Right? There is thousands and thousands of horror stories of people, even if they have survived it, who end up in the hands of criminals. Even if all of them know that, there will always be this cousin, this nephew, this friend who posts nice Instagram posts, who shows how successful they are. There is a neighbor who had the house built,
yes.
Which is being sent home. Now there is this cultural question. So the pressure is sometimes so big on individual migrants,
yeah.
Or wannabe migrants, to move that they are not open for rational.
Exactly.
But it could be there. I think it's an obligation, and I think there the caller had a good point, that at least the information is accessible. That, you know, you can say, well, if you really want to prepare, there is easy access to that information. You have been warned.
Yeah.
You can be informed.
Yeah.
Okay, you, people will still maybe take the decision to risk their lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, even when there was at the height of the crossings via the Mediterranean, when hundreds of thousands of people left, and you said, yeah, there was, of course, many people died. But then you say, well, you know, on the absolute number of people who crossed and the people who died, it's 1%, 2%, 3%. It was still hundreds of people, and every person is too much.
But let me interrupt you here. We really have run out of time almost. You know, there's a lot to talk about regarding the migration dialogue you're talking about. I mean, if that dialogue was working well, some of these young people who are undertaking this dangerous journey, things can be done better to prepare them for the trip if they still want to go, or to restrain some of them who might want to do that. You see, I think there's still a lot of work to do in
yes.
the area of your migration dialogues. Migration dialogues, you know, to help people better. And like we have agreed in as for migration, you can't really stop it. It's going to happen, whether we like it or not, for different reasons. Okay, so then your work should really intensify in the area of the dialogues, especially from the sending countries.
Yes.
Do you agree with me? Can you answer that in just 1 minute?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of work needs to be done, and outreach to reach potential migrants, to inform the population. It's not only the wannabe migrants, but also their family and their social work. But the risks and opportunities need to be there. But at the same time, the receiving country should also create more opportunities for legal migration. So I think on both sides, a lot of work still needs to be
done. Yes. Okay. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, and I think we're going to have to pick up this matter again. Because,
but just before you signed up, tell our listeners about your college of particle skills.
There's no time for that.
All right.
Yeah, we got to get to it. Yeah. Okay, so my time on this novel, so we want to thank you so much for your time, but I think you got to come back because we have to delve into some more issues, yes.
Yeah.
Please, I can come back anytime you want. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk with you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
All right, you have a nice day, and I will speak again later.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
My dad has been this morning discussing on the rail.
I believe you enjoyed Mr. Martin Plant with that explicit discussion and exposition and clarification on immigration matters. Well, our time actually is up also. We actually went a bit over time. I want to leave you with the song from Pastor Kofi, who we had some moments ago sharing with us his experience, his visit to Europe as a guest minister, to minister in music, and the path on which God has set him to touch the world with his songs. And on this note, I want to wish you a very good day, very good working week. Until next week, God willing. Bye for now.
your faithful message day. I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy.
Yeah, this is my favorite song from last year.
To receive the kind of love that you give.
One of my favorite bands, the Zoo Turns. Yeah. This is Valerie.
Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the borders and I think about all the things. What you doing? In my head, I paint a picture. Since I come home, but my body's gonna make it. And I'm messing your down the hill. And the way of life is breaking. Won't you come on over?
We'll be forever loving John. import fruits.